And all right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody here today. How many you just love just being around other people, okay, on Sunday morning? Thank you. There's one person who raised her hand right there, and that was Alicia Spurs' mom. Thank you. Listen, you shouldn't come to church out of obligation. You should not come to church out of obligation. There should be a want to when you come to church, because there's something that happens when you get around other believers that does not happen when you're by yourself. And the Holy Spirit can be poured out in a different way, and you can receive really the things that you've been praying for and asking for sometimes in a group setting that you don't get by yourself. And so I just encourage you today as we go into this message that you would really open your ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We are in our last week of our series called Rhythms, and I've enjoyed the series. It's really been a challenge to us to really get back in the right place with God, and not only understanding what that looks like, but actually applying it to our life. And so we know the word for the year was restore. And if you have not been here, the word restore, and Anna, you can put that up. That's in there on the notes of what restore is. It says to bring back a previous right, practice, custom, or situation to reinstate. And I believe this year God wants to reinstate some life back into your life. You got to get it. And we serve a God of life. He is the resurrection and the life. And one of the ways we do that is really by remaining in him, by staying with him. We talked about that the first week. Misty also kicked us off with resting and talking about what it means to rest in God. And so I just let this last week, I want to talk about rethinking and what that looks like. And this is probably the hardest part for us as Christians, is to rethink what we're thinking about and to rethink what God's heart is for us as believers. And if we cannot get on the same wavelength as God, it's going to be difficult for us to really identify what our idea of success is in life compared to his idea. And so we are not successful based upon accomplishments or how far we think we've gotten, but as Christians, we are successful by our faith. The Bible says that we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, and that we are justified by faith. And so when God looks at your life, there is a faith barometer that is active, and God graduates you based upon how well your faith is operating. And so we know in our life that our faith level sometimes wavers back and forth because of the circumstances that we're in. And thank God that his grace is there and it's sufficient that helps us get back where we need to go. God doesn't keep score and he's like, well, you've got two and I've got one and I'm winning and you're losing. God knows the process that you're in and he knows what it looks like and what it's going to take to get you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And it's different from every single person. It's different. So you cannot measure your progress against someone else. And if you do that, it can be very difficult for you to keep your joy, because your joy will be based upon whether or not that person is further along or whether or not you're not where you think you need to be. And all of a sudden your emotions begin to oscillate back and forth rather than not staying in the fact that you are secure, you are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that God actually loves you now. He's not loving you more when you will be what he wants you to be. He loves you now. And that now type of love gives you the encouragement to be, but also to keep being in process. And so it's not a matter of what I will be, and God, yes, is looking forward to that, and you will like your future self, but also God wants you to love yourself now on the way to where you're going. Because if you can't love yourself now, it'll always be based upon what type of accomplishment and goal that you have, and then that will be your barometer for success, and then you will take that love barometer up and say, no, I love myself more now. You should have loved yourself a long time ago. And so what that does is all that does is just bring you into a more a healthy place when you begin to see results in your life. Because God does it that way. God already sees the other you. He sees the better you, quotes. And so for us as Christians, let's accept ourselves the way we are, but don't be comfortable that way. Just say, well, I'm dissatisfied the way it is. No, there should be a desire to get better in your life. There should be a desire. So if you're in a position of your life where it says, well, I've plateaued and I've settled, you've got to rearrange your thinking and say, no, there's some other things that God wants to do in my life, because if you're not careful, you'll slip away into a process of spiritual atrophy in your life, and you won't grow anymore. And I've said this before, after an injury in your body, it takes about 2 days for that muscle to begin to atrophy because it's not being worked anymore. And so if you're not careful, if you're not working yourself, not only spiritually but physically, if you're not working yourself emotionally, and even practicing self-discipline in your finances, you won't see the growth that God wants you to see in your life and that you want to see. Because whether we like to admit it or not, growth takes work. It takes work. And it doesn't work if I don't stay with Him and remain with Him in the process, because we are the branches. He is the vine. And so apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing and bear no fruit. And so if we're looking and we're trying to bear fruit apart from God, it doesn't work. There's a disconnect there. God said, automatically, you forfeit the benefits of being connected with me. And listen, newsflash anyway, Christian or not Christian, you can't do it without Him anyway. So your very life is in His hands. And so He says, if you stay connected with me, you'll begin to see things in your life grow. You'll begin to see eternal value, the things that are really matter in your life begin to grow. You'll start to see fruit in your life. You'll start to see righteousness begin to grow in your life. You'll start to see a more of a tenacity in your faith in life. These are the things that God is looking for, eternal things, things of eternal worth. That's why a lot of times we pray about stuff temporary, and you say, God, are you listening to me? God says, I understand your plight, but I'm doing something bigger than you just getting a new car. Because once you get a new car, you're going to have to be responsible for that car. And so if I just give you stuff without really making you and molding you, you'll have a wrong perspective and begin to actually elevate the creation rather than the creator. And I don't want you to do that. I want to be elevated and stay elevated in your life, because whether or not I give it to you or whether or not I take it away from you, I am still worthy to be blessed. The Bible says He gives and He takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And so you have to hold things open. And so if God brings things in your life, praise God. And I'm praising God for the things that He's doing in your life now during these 90 days. And God is blessing people. Listen, don't feel bad about God blessing you. Don't feel bad about what God's bringing into your life. Just thank God for it, accept it, and just praise God, because you know what it took to get you there and what God brought you through to get it. And just stay in that. Don't allow the enemy to come in and knock you off your perch of victory. Don't allow it to happen in your life, because the enemy will do everything he can to take you out in the moment that God blesses you and says, you don't really deserve it. But listen, if God gave it to you, it's yours. You don't have to convince anybody else. It's yours. And so stay in your faith walk where God has called you to be. Walk where God has called you to walk. You'll begin to see the results. And this is the one thing I know about God, is that if God wants you to have it, you'll have it. You'll have it. And sometimes God will withhold things from you just because it's an act of faith that He's looking for you to operate in your life. He's actually looking for you to build faith in your life so that when it does come, you know where it came from and that you're actually ready to handle it. And we've talked about this so many times in here. God is not going to give you something that's going to crush you. That's why it takes His time to build you so that when it does, you do come into it, that you can handle it and that you can actually steward it in your life. That's just how good God is. No father gives his kid a car at 7 and says, drive the car. Because there's too much wisdom. Kid's not ready yet. God knows when you're ready. And that's why in this moment, as we start the year, and as we talk about going after those things in our life that we've lost, God is rebuilding our faith and telling us, hey, listen, this is not about you waiting and just waiting for things to happen. You can wait on me, hope in me, but let's keep moving toward what I've called you to move into and go after those things that I've put in your heart. And so for some of you, you're looking for financial blessing. God said, okay, let's be consistent in our tithing. Let's go after some discipline in that. And guess what? Then I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to contain. But we got to start there. I'm not going to throw you $50,000 when you can't tithe. Some of you want to be in a relationship, you're in a marriage. God said, listen, until you get your own emotions right, I'm not sending anybody else in. Because then you're going to have to live for two, and you're having a hard time living for one. And so let's take our time. That's me and you. I'm the love of your soul. Me, I'm the one that you blow kisses to. Me, I'm the one that you spend your late nights with. I'm the one that we're developing a relationship with. I'm the one who's your lover. I'm the one who's telling you, no, don't do this, do this. I'm the one. This is all part of that process that I want to be in. Let's fall in love with me first. And so when someone else comes into your life, you have a right perspective. You already know they're not God. You already know that they're not going to fill the places that only God can fill. You know that they're not going to be elevated in this position. Listen, praise God that you're here. But God has been good to me, and thank you for coming along with me as we go on this road of life together. And I'm not going to lose myself into something that God has not called me to lose in. That's just not what God has called you to be. God has not called you to walk in bondage. God has not called you to walk codependently with other people. God has called you to walk side by side with people who are going to help accomplish His purpose. That's why God gives you people. That's why God brings people into your life, because there's an ultimate purpose that God is after. God is not after wrecking your fun. He's not after wrecking your joy. And He's sure not after you losing your identity in something. He's too good. God will share you when He's ready and when you're ready. Because God knows and understands the value of a relationship with Him. And push comes to shove, even when I'm in a relationship with someone, my identity still has to be in Jesus. My foundation still has to be in Jesus, because they cannot give me or do for me. Only Jesus can fill those needs and go down in into the deep parts of my soul and bring the satisfaction that I actually need. And so, listen, enjoy. If you're single, enjoy your singleness. If you're married, enjoy your marriageness. But whether you're single or whether you're married, it doesn't matter. He should still be the center. If you want it to work. If you don't want it to work, that's another story. But God is good. So as we go into this scripture in Romans chapter 12, hard scripture, necessary scripture, because it talks about really what the process of us rethinking looks like. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Everybody say renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that word approve actually means, yes, I see fit. I see, yes, this is what God's will is. Oftentimes, you don't know what God's will is until there's transformation in your mind. We talk about having a heart after God, but really where the real issue is and where the battle is here. Because you are coming against old thought patterns and an old nature. Yes, that has been renovated. We have a new nature, but still has an effect on your thought process. Well, what does that mean? That means there are certain things that you want to do that you don't do. Because your mind has a tendency to steer you in a direction because of the way you think. And so we have to go through a renovation and a transformation in our mind so we can approve and attest to, okay, that's what God's will is. Because in our own mind, in our own nature, we don't know what that is. And so God has to come in and help us in this process. He says, present your body. And the first thing we have to understand and know is that it's not your body. It's not your life. And more so, it's not your mind anymore. And so whatever comes with the body, God said, it's now mine. Present that back to me, because this is your reasonable or true and proper worship. He said, in light of what God did and God's mercy and holding back His wrath towards you and giving you His Son, He said, in light of me giving you my best, I'm asking you to now present yourself a living sacrifice to me. You got to get it right. And know first and foremost that your life was never your own in the first place. And it's not until you become a Christian that you actually realize that. That God decided when and where you were going to be born, who you were going to be born to, how many kids were going to be in your family, what propensities of that you were going to have in your life that you were going to gravitate toward, what gifts, what talents, what abilities God was going to give you. It was already predetermined, and God said, this is what I'm going to give you. I'm giving you 2 talents. I'm giving you 5. He said, it's already predetermined. And so as a Christian, we understand that, and it gives us more of a confidence to know that, okay, God has given me what I need to have in my life. Now I need to come back to Him and say, okay, how does this work? Because I don't know how it works. So in view of God's mercy, I present it back to Him. Now, as I present it back to Him, there is now a process that I go through, and that process is this transformation or the renewing of our mind, and this is a hard process. Now, when I think of sacrifice, what I think of is an altar. I think it's sacrificing something to God. And this is how our life is lived. The altar is where the dead things go. The dead things. So God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to present your life back to me because your life is no longer your own anymore. Remember, you died to self. You died now. And so what I want you to do is I want you to get back up on the altar. Present your body a living sacrifice to me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take those dead things in your life and I'm going to cut them off. I'm going to consume them. The things that are not bringing life to you, the things that are not helping you bear fruit, I'm actually going to burn them up so that you can actually see life, see promise. Where there was doubt, I'm going to bring in faith. Where there was mistaken identity, I'm going to show you what actual true identity looks like. Where there was abandonment or insecurity, I'm going to replace it with acceptance. And God said, I'm going to do all these things because now your life is not your own anymore. You have given me permission. And this is the key. You have to give God permission to do it. Because it hurts. Because God goes in and goes to cutting. And goes to pruning. And goes to changing. And that means that we have to revisit things in our life that we don't necessarily like to revisit. Because God said, the reason why that is like this is because in your own nature, you had a tendency to want to gravitate toward this in your life. Each one of us in here has a propensity to gravitate toward a certain type of sin habit in our life. And you could talk about, well, it's not my fault. It was passed down. Well, that's why a lot of times in here we talk about generational curses. Things that have been brought and passed down from family to family may not necessarily be your fault, but you are connected to it. And so when God comes in and says, I've given you a new nature, you're new in me. Not only are you new in me, but I need you to understand that you're not your grandfather. You're not your grandmother. You're not what happened 2 and 3 generations ago. But in you, I would like to cut some things off so that this habit, this habitual thing does not perpetuate in future generations. And so I'm going to come in, and if you allow me, we'll cut this thing off. And you have to have a tenacity to say, okay, God, cut it off in me, because I am not walking in that anymore in my life. I'm not walking. You're going to clap, just clap. If I'm not walking in, I'm not walking in it. I'm not walking in lack anymore in my life. You have a calling to walk in lack. I'm sorry. And so just because they did it doesn't mean I have to do it. And so if God has saved you, given you a new nature, given you a new name, that means God has a new plan and a new purpose for your life. A new plan and a purpose for your life that is separate from where you came from. It does not mean that there will not be some influence that we don't have in our family of origins and different things. That's just life. That's just family. But we don't have to walk down certain types of paths, especially when it comes to sin or it comes to things generationally that were passed down that bear no fruit in our life. God said, you don't have to walk down that stuff anymore. You are a new creature in me. And so you got to allow me to get up on there and do that. And I pray that you be the type of person who breaks that curse, breaks that cycle in your life, breaks that cycle in your family. You get on and say, no, it's going to be me. Heck no, I'm taking my shirt off, whatever it is. I'll lay on the altar. Get to cutting, because I am not doing this anymore in my life. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word transform, let's talk about it. Metamorpho is the Greek word. Welcome to school. On the next screen. Comes from the English word metamorphosis. A change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. God said, listen, I'm going to change you so good, you're not going to recognize yourself. Thank God. Because some of you don't want to remember the old you. And that's okay. God said, that's old and that's done. So we're going to do something new, and we're going to transform some things into a completely different one by natural, supernatural means. And I appreciate that word that was there, natural or supernatural. Because that's what God does. He does it. It's a supernatural work, so you can't figure out the process. God has ways of doing things that you don't. And so what he does ask you to do is, hey, listen, your part is just to present yourself to me, okay? Stay with me, remain, okay? Rest with me, okay? and know that I'm going to be the one who's going to help you in this process begin to rethink this whole thing. But we've got to start. You've got to stick with me in this process. And so every time I feel like God's doing something in my life, what I'm doing is I'm saying, okay, God, I'm getting back up on the altar. Getting back up. All right, go ahead and go to work. Just go to work. And allow the surgeon to come in and do his work. And he does his best work in secret. So if you have not become acquainted with God in the secret place, you are missing out on the joy that comes with having an intimate relationship with him. That's how God does it. He gets in when no one else is looking. There's a sign in the hospital if you go in, and sometimes on the floor it says, quiet, patients are healing. How true that is. When our relationship with God is where it needs to be, often God comes in and he does it quietly, discreetly. And only you and him have an understanding of necessarily what's happening and going on, but you don't even understand the comprehensive work that he's doing because he's such a master artist and surgeon that he'll come in and start cutting things off. And you'll say, how did you even get to that? And you'll begin to wake up one day and you'll see yourself in a different light. And the things that used to cause you issues or trauma in your life no longer do, because you come to the realization that, oh my gosh, I've been healed from that. And I don't know how he did it, but by faith, I thank you, Lord, and I trust you that you're good. And whatever it is in my life that you need to have access to, I'm going to give it to you because I know that I can trust you. Now, and this is the process that we go through, the renewing of our mind, but it doesn't take place unless I am open to it. I have to be open to it. Got to. Because God will get into some strange places and do some things in our life that don't make sense to us. And so this process has to go on continually. And it's difficult for us because we are not who we're going to be, but we are shedding the old Malia, the old Ellen, and becoming the new Malia and the new Ellen in Christ. Positionally, we're there, but our state says we're not there yet. And so I am constantly changing and shedding off the old in my life, taking off the old me, just changing and turning and doing this until I eventually get in, and all of a sudden I'm a new person in my life. And God does it. And sometimes, well, how long does it take? As long as it takes. But I promise you this, you'll know when the result of that particular surgery is done. Because it won't hurt as bad anymore. He's got to get to the hurt place. But in order to get to the hurt place, you got to stop holding on to it and give it to him. But if you allow him to replace that hurt with that little healing balm that he does, he'll pack it, heal it. And so you might still walk with a little bit of a limp or have a scar, but it's okay. You remember what he did. You might. But it's where the dead things go, right? The dead things got to go there. But I would say this too. It's where the deep things go, too. The deep things. Oh, the deep things that we don't talk about. The deep things. And God gets in and says, "Oh, baby, we're gonna get in that one. Because that one's hurting you." And you're going to cry through it, and it's going to be hard. But I'm telling you, it's worth it if you let me get to it. Because you'll be so free and so have an understanding of my love and acceptance of you that you will never again gravitate toward things that will put you in bondage or help you have a misunderstanding of your identity and your acceptance in me. You'll never gravitate toward that again because you know that you're so loved and accepted and have a value of my work that you'll turn to nothing else but me. This is who God is. It's who God is. He goes to cutting. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he cuts away. But those that do bear fruit, he prunes, and that word actually means cleans. He cleans it out. You know, there are certain wounds that if you don't clean out, they can turn into infections. And then eventually things can happen worse that affect the body if you don't clean it out. And I wonder how many of us in here have allowed things in our life to fester for so long that we don't have an understanding of what it's actually doing to us in our life. That every time something good comes into our life, we have a hard time accepting it or receiving it or enjoying it because that old infection or that old thing that took place in our life 55 years ago, 40 years ago, seems it's creeping up. It's laying in there still because it hasn't been dealt with. It creeps up and it has a way of polluting all things that are good. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights who is from above. Father of lights. There's no shifting in him. There's no turning in him. So every good, when God brings something good in your life, he said, it's good. I'm not trying to taint it. It's good. But we have a hard time accepting it because of the fact that we are still being polluted from things that happened years ago in our life. And God says, I got to get to it. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Guess what? This is a good thing for me. It's a good thing for me because I found favor from the Lord and I can accept that. So every time the enemy tries to come in and bring it down, I'm like, well, you know, you're not where you're supposed to be in your marriage. It's okay. It's a good thing. I value that thing. Without that thing in my life, I wouldn't be who I am today because of the process that has helped me. Because God knows what you need. He knows what you need. So for me, it was okay. Listen, son, you need to be married. So we got to do some work in your life. And not only that, I'm going to give you two girls. Okay? You so messed up. Okay? I'm going to give you one. And she is not like you. This woman is not like you. Okay? She loves me. She's not like you. She's going to love you, but she's going to love me more. And listen, I know you want a boy. I'm going to give you two girls. And you're going to have to understand and know what it is to live with three women in the house. Understand that my love is great and that I am gracious in everything that I do. And I'm going to give you the grace to do it. But you know what? Would I trade it? Nah. Because God knows what I need. Because it's not just about me obtaining favor from the Lord and having a good wife. It's about the character work that God is trying to do in the midst of this. God has a work in it. God doesn't just give me a gift and say, enjoy the gift. There's no purpose in it. Because God gives, every time God gives you something, there's a purpose in it. There are always strings attached. That is not biblical. There's always strings attached. God always has something up his sleeve. You think God's just giving it to you and be like, well, that's just it. No, guess what? There's a work in it. You think that's just about you enjoying it, but my wisdom in giving you this is going to accomplish far greater above what you can even see. You're going to affect generations just by being with her. A lot of times you think, well, I'm just working a job. God is working you at that job. And the influence will be greater than you can even imagine. Once you get out of that season, you'll look back and say, my goodness, if it wasn't for that season and the character work God did in my life, I would not have been able to handle this season in my life because that stress actually built up in me a tolerance for difficulty. I understood what it means to work under pressure. I was built in the fire. Listen, it's not that bad. When God brings you through stuff, there's always a process that he's trying to get you ready for on the other side. He's building you up. It's hard. It's okay. It's supposed to be. God's just not going to give it to you. Here you go. Just take it. Without the enemy trying to come in and slap it away. You know, every time God goes to bless you, the enemy tries to come in, and there's a little bit of a slap that takes place on him part because he's upset, number one, that he's not given the blessing. And he's upset the fact that how could God bless you because he, quote-unquote, knows you. And in reality, God knows you better, and it has nothing to do with you getting it, whether or not you're good enough or you're not good enough. God gives it to you for His purpose. His purpose. I can enjoy it, but I understand still that it's for His purpose. That's why every once in a while I got to keep giving it back up to the Lord. Lord, she's yours. Lord, they're yours. Because He has to stay one. And God is so good, He will remind you of His place. He'll remind you. And so when you're ready, change will take place and God will bring things into your life. Our daughter, back in September, was diagnosed, had a little bit of process that took place in her life. She was sick, had strep, okay? And this particular strep lasted longer than the normal strep. And those that are doctors in here, you'll know more when I talk a little bit about this. But her strep turned into what is called PANDAS, okay? And so it's an autoimmune disease that is really kicked off or put into motion by a strep virus that is in there too long and begins to cause issues in the child that are abnormal, okay? So what happens is that now this has been in her, and Lexi's only 7, okay, for a while, and this particular virus lays dormant, okay? It masks itself as good. Okay? Correct? Okay, thank you. It masks itself as good. And so anytime and the antibodies are released to go attack those things or those issues that you're having in your body, what happens is that because the strep has masked itself as good cells, it doesn't detect that it's actually bad. And so what happens is now you have those antibodies actually attacking good cells. And so it confuses. And for her, it affects her basal ganglia in her brain that's responsible for motor function and skills and has an effect on the blood-brain barrier in her that separates some things that are happening in her cognitive areas, her cerebral cortex and different things of that nature. I sound intellectual because it is very intellectual. Okay? But here's the bottom line. Okay? What happens is it manifests itself certain ways. For Lexi, it manifests in panic attacks. So she comes home several months ago and has a total panic attack and all of a sudden thinks that mom is not coming to get her. It just comes out of the blue. Now, up to this point, she was fine. And more research showed that, okay, well, this has been in her body and the result of it is the fact that it's going to manifest in certain ways. And for some kids, it's OCD. Screaming fits uncontrollably, they get violent, and panic attacks, anxiety, and this is not something that happens one time. And what it is it happens periodically, and it comes out of the blue. The child could be fine, and then within seconds, turn. And so we've had issues with her, of where we've been in conversation with her, and all of a sudden she'll change back to, but what happens then? She goes back from, I'm fine, to I'm not fine. Okay? And it's very difficult to process through that and to be in a situation where you're trying to understand what she's going through and be sympathetic at the same time, not want to cut the enemy's head off at the same time because you're trying to deal with your kid at 7 who is now having to use words like PANDAS and have an understanding of what she's actually going through. And God has been so gracious that she is emotionally developed at her age of 7 that she can process things that I don't think other normal 7-year-olds can process through. Okay, I let alone come in and play drums for the first 2 songs of worship today in the beginning of 8:30 just for the heck of it. Okay, so she has an intellectual brain, but she has issues now because of this. Okay, and so this process has taken place now. We're in January, 3 or 4 months, and it's getting better, but it's not better. And why do I tell you this? Because she has a hard time understanding truth from the actual lie. The truth is, mommy and daddy are never going to not come and get you. The lie is, but what if you don't? How do you know? And it has to be a repetitive cycle of, listen, we're going to come and get you, and we have to take her through the process and steps of us helping her to know that we love her and accept her, and solicit the help of Maria to be able to have some things that she can understand, some words that she can repeat to herself when she gets anxious about that process. Not only that, but it also affects the body, and she doesn't like to, she doesn't eat as much when she's going through this, and her joints get sore. Okay, she'll sit me down and just feel sore. Okay, I don't like this. So she's going through at 7. Her appetite changes. She hallucinates. She sees things that are actually not there. And also, she has problem, oddly enough, with doing math functions. Because it's math is so cerebral that it hurts her brain to actually go in and actually have to do numbers. And this, I can't do it. I just have to go lay down. Okay, so this is the process that we've had to deal with over the last, 3 or 4 months. Not a feeling sorry thing, but this is just a process that she's dealing with, because I was thinking about this and how appropriate does it actually relate to us today in this message, with the fact how many times do we actually believe something that is not true in our life because we have allowed something to take root or something that's been laying dormant in our life that has masked itself as good and it's not, and all of a sudden it'll just jump out at the wrong moment and cause a panic attack, and we have to step back and say, okay, wait a minute, maybe God doesn't love me. True, we laugh. Maybe he doesn't love me. All the while, instead of standing in that secure place of who we are in Jesus, we start to move. Well, you're right, maybe he doesn't love me. Maybe he won't come through for me. Maybe I won't ever get through this. Maybe I'll never have soundness of mind. Maybe I'll never get over the abuse. Maybe I never will. Maybe God was just faking me out. Maybe that's where you're a faker. Follow the process. Normal Lexi would not be this way. But because of the process that actually manifested in her body, all of a sudden changes it, and now it's not normal Lexi. It's two types. Which Lexi do we get today? What about you? You, the normal Sean or Aaron. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I know God's with me. Okay, but that other part that comes up when things get hard, difficult, that's underlying, oh, wait, maybe I'm not good. Well, maybe God, maybe God doesn't love me. Wait, maybe yesterday was just, God was kidding. I had a great day yesterday. I had a great day. You know what? Okay, maybe tomorrow's not going to be good. And there's a war in our natures. What's right and what's not right, because we don't have an understanding of the love of God and how unconditional it is, but how God actually has good for us, because there are things in our life that have been masked, that are just laying dormant in there, that we haven't allowed God to deal with. And it comes at abnormal points. When things should be good, they're not good. They're not good. Going to school and eating in a lunchroom with your kids should be a joyous occasion. All my kids are here. She can't do it. She's got to go to the office because it triggers panic. What are some of the things in our life that should be normal and the experiences that should be good that we should love just doing, but we can't because it triggers a response in us? And if we're not careful, robs us of the life that God wants to really bring into us, give us the things that we actually really need, but we can't because for some reason it triggers something in our mind. God said, I want to deal with some of that stuff, because you're mentally incapacitated and you're stopping yourself. You're sabotaging yourself from the grace that I want to give you and also the gifts that I want to bestow on you in your life. And so I've got to get back up on the altar and say, no, I don't like that about me anymore. I'm not doing that no more. So guess what? I'm staying on here until I see something. I'm staying on there till I see something. I'm not getting up till I see a little progress. And so you have to have that tenacity in your life to say, no, I'm going to rethink differently about this in my life, because if I don't, it's going to kill me. And aren't you that type of person where something, when something is wrong with you or you can sense something is off, it's like, okay, I got to fix this thing. What's up? You know when it's off. I'm out of balance here. What's up with it? And so you have a desire to say, okay, Lord. And the first thing that I do is say, okay, all right, hold on. What do you think? Am I off here? Okay, my body physically, she knows stuff. I don't know. I'm like, what do you think here? Oh, it's just a rash. Okay, good. Okay, move on. Okay, all right. But when it comes to like the deeper things, I'm like, oh, what do you think about what's going on here? A lot of times the enemy is trying to come in and taint the good things that God is actually doing. And because I don't necessarily understand all that's going on, what I do is instead of accept the fact that God is good, the now God, that God is good and that God has good things, I can easily gravitate toward into my rational mind that says, you know what, it probably won't last because it really never does. And rather than just continue with God, we go back onto this point of, if I can ration it out and I can reason it out, then it must be God. But that's not how faith works. I'm almost finished. You'll be fine. Come on, we got to get in here. That's not how faith works. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it, but you know what? My faith says it's done and that you can do it. But I have to continue to walk in it even though I don't see it. Because that's how faith is perfected. Not in walking in something that I can see. I got to walk into things that I don't see and say, okay, and God perfects my faith. And all of a sudden, I change, I metamorpho, I go through a metamorphosis, and then I begin to say, oh, you know what? That's what God's will is. I didn't know what it was before, but after that last little process, that's what it is. That's what it is. Because ultimately, God's heart and desire is that I grow up in my character into a mature Christian. That's what God wants. I want out of my job, not until the character process is done. And then I'll move you. But it's about maturity. That's why you cannot measure yourself against someone else, like we said before, because your process is different from my process. And when God says, okay, that's enough, I like the way you look, I'll move you on. And if you're not in that process, you will be. And if you expect for God to do anything great in your life, you will be in the crucible of pain and difficulty. Or will you have to come to a realization that God is God and you are not. And that God will accomplish his purpose. And so the best thing that we can do is just to say, okay, I already know. Okay, I already know. I got it.
Okay, good?
All right, good. You know it now. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. All right. Remember, I'm perfecting faith in you. That's what I love. Anna, what else we got? Here's a process. As a Christian, we live. We die to our former self. Die to self. The result, we rethink. Rethink. Our situation and our life. Because the way God looks at it, is not the way sometimes we look at it. We look at it as, it's uncomfortable, I can't take it. God looks at it, man, but you're looking good. And I tell you what, I can see myself in you. Man. And that's, God says, I'm going to keep you there. I'm going to keep you there. I'm going to keep you there until I can see more of me. I know you want to get out sometimes, and it's okay, you can try to get out. I'm going to pull you right back in. I'm going to hold you right in place, and I'm just going to do the work. And listen, the good thing about me is that you can kick, you can scream, you can do all that stuff, but I can still do my work in spite of your emotional response to me. I can still do it. Praise God. And I'm going to get it all done, and I'll release you, and you're going to like it. But listen, here's the process. Just so you know, you'll rethink differently. And the next time it comes in, you'll say, okay, this is good. I already know this. You know what? It's not that bad. You know how it goes. You know how it goes. Because we all do this, right? How many of you, we just went to Rock the Universe this weekend. How many of you, you're roller coaster people, you're not roller coaster people, you try to get over your fear, like, okay, this is the day, I'm going on a roller coaster. I know all my kids are here, I'm not going to do it, but I want to do it. I got to get over my fear, and you want to get on it, and you're hyped up, you're getting all anxious about it. You're like, okay, if I make it out, I'm going to glorify you, Lord. If I make it out, I'm going to glorify you, right? The whole deal, right? If I make it out, This is it. This is the day. I'm going to do it. I'm finally on it. You get to the thing and like, Lord Jesus, I'm not getting up on that thing. You go the whole process. You're like, how fast does this thing go? You try to reason the whole thing out. What if I turn my neck here? Is it going to crack, break? What's going to happen? Do I just grin and bear it? What do I do? And so you finally say, you know what? I'm going on it. I got to do it. I got to get over my fear. And the whole time, man, you were squeezing so hard on the person next to you, on the thing. You're like, if I fall out, Jesus, save me. If you don't, whatever, just do something. Send an angel, send somebody. But I've heard stories. And then all of a sudden, I got to do it. So you got to get over your head. You got to get over your head. And just get after it and do it. And the whole time you do it, you're screaming because everyone else is screaming. And you get off the ride and you're like, man, I can't believe I did it. And you actually, it was horrible. You felt horrible about it. Horrible. But you know what? You did it and you can hold your head high. And say, you know what? I did it. And something inside of you changes. I'm going to do this again. It wasn't even that bad. And this is how we are in our relationship with God. We change, things happen, and we look back and we say, I think I can do this again. And God says, good. Because we're going to do it again. But you know what? You look at yourself and you say, it wasn't that bad. I just had to get over my preconceived ideas about how it was going to feel. And once I did it, man, I rejoiced. It was on Twitter. It was on Instagram. I said, I wrote it, and it was awesome. And you're like, man, let's do it again. And it just changes. And now instead of running from hardship, it's just easier. No, we're going to get it. We're going to do it now. I know my head's saying no, but I'm doing it anyway. And it changes you. It changes you. Faith to faith and from glory to glory. And you say, I want to do it again. Just bring it on because you got me. You got me. Let's get through it quicker. If I just get like just. Okay, hold on. All right, Lord. Now it's like, just come on, let's do this thing. I got to get on the line. Because you realize that it's actually stopping you from living life. And that actually, you're not living. You're just trying to make it. I'm just existing. And your fear is killing you. Your emotional incapacities they're killing you. You're like, no, Lord, just got to do this thing. You got to do it because I can't do it. And now you just start running to it. And God says, man, you're so eager. Now you're eager because you see the goodness of God and His actual heart for you is actually to live and to fly and to do hard things and actually live. It's like, oh, I can do it now. You've been trying to get me not to do it. Well, now I'm going to do it even harder. That's what it is. You begin to see the two forces that are working against you or for you. He's coming against you, says, don't do it. God says, you can do it. No, I don't want to do it. You can do it. You do it. I can do it. You're right. And what that does is you just hurtled over the enemy. Comes in the next time, I can do this thing. I can do it. I can do it. In spite of me, God's still using my personality. In spite of everything else, I can do it. You just keep walking over it. Walking over it. And before you know it, you're winning. Win. Come on, man. Come on up. Well, God has promised you and said to you, He will bring to pass. He will. It's a matter of how you're going to get there. But I want to tell you today that let's get there quicker. Sooner than later. Because, honestly, let's think about it this way. For some of us, we don't have later. You don't got later. And God is not interested in another wilderness experience for 40 years. He's not interested in that stuff anymore. And listen, if you don't know by now, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I mean, we're not going to get it, are we? Okay. He said, let's just get it. I'm putting you through this maze so you actually can see that I am He. I am the healer. I am the provider. I am the source. I am it. So that you know that it's not them, it's me. So that you can walk with me and begin to fly with me and begin to do things with me. So other people look at you and say, you can't do that. You're like, yeah, I can. And you actually do it. That's who God is. He loves everyone equally, but He loves you especially. He's got good things for you, and let's get that in our hearts and rethink our attitude toward God and how He feels about us. But the only way it happens is that if we remain in Him, we rest in Him, so we can rethink. And enjoy the secret place with God. Because that's where He does that work. Let's not be the people who miss out on what God has. Because what we think God is like, or what we think it's going to be like, and just get on the coaster. This is the beauty about coming together as a body. Because all of a sudden you're like, I'm struggling with this. You gotta say, you know, Leslie, you can come with me on here. Because I can't do this. It's going to be hard. Just come with me. If you're here, I think I can do it. And all of a sudden you do it. Your whole life changes around. And now you're helping everybody else. I'll tell you what, I helped. I'm going to help you too. And God will start sending other people in your life. Say, man, He healed you from this. He did that. He got. He does that so that all of a sudden it can perpetuate it forward. And so when other people come into your life, like, listen, I help you with that. I see what I was, or I see what it was like. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's go. I'm not letting you stay there. It's not God for you. It's not what God's heart is for you. If you're willing, I can help you get there. But come on. Let's be a body who helps people spur one another on to good works. Get people over their stuff so they can actually begin to start ruling and reigning in life and actually doing things that actually matter. Remember Finding Nemo? Dory and Marlin are in that scene with the whale. And Marlin in himself is going through this transformation about letting go and my son. And they're on the whale. And we find out that Dory can speak whale. And this whole process is taking place. And they're beginning to hear what the whale is saying. And the whale says, well, it's time to go. I'm paraphrasing it here. It's time to go. It's time to go here. And he's going, what do you mean? And he's freaking out a little bit. And they finally get to that top of where he's like, I think he's saying to continue to get back into his like throat area. Just keep moving back. And they finally get to a point of where they're at the tip. And if you remember the movie, and she looks it down, and they're having a conversation, and he's like, well, how do you know it's going to be okay? And she goes, I don't. It just jumps. After they jump, what happened? The whale shot out of water right up through the hole and got him out of that place of captivity. Got him out of that place of bondage. And all of a sudden, they're back in the water. How do you know it's going to be okay? I don't all the time. I just know that He's got me. Got me this far. I'm going to jump. Because I know when I jump, it's going to get me out of this place in prison of fear and captivity that I placed myself in. Because I don't want to experience life or try something. I have to jump. And all of a sudden, God's spirit and His strength just begins to undergird me and spits me out where I need to be. Because I just got to jump. God said, if you will do it, I respond in faith. I respond in faith. Let's all stand to our feet if we could. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace in here today. How many would say in here, hey, my head gets in the way. My head gets in the way way too much. It just gets in the way way too much. Okay, all right, that's it. Nothing wrong with being intellectual. God's created you with a brain. You need that brain. The problem is that sometimes we can intellectualize God right out of our process. Because God said, what I'm doing, you're not necessarily going to be able to understand and grasp. You're going to have to trust me. And I'll reveal to you little by little some things that I'm doing, but you won't get the whole picture. So just trust me by faith. And if you'll just jump out of that small-mindedness, jump out of that raft or that prison that you put yourself in and know that you can run in wide open spaces, that you can run, that there's actually grace for you, and that actually you can, if you fall down, you can actually get up. Because that's just who I am. I'm a God who wants to see his kids rise and actually get up and run. And so that means sometimes you're going to fall. But it's okay. I'd rather you jump out. Because as you're doing it, you're learning more about me. Father, I thank you for every person in here whose heart is more of you. I pray, God, that they would understand this process of living, dying, and rethinking, because we know that it's that transformation process in our life that you're after. You want our minds to be transformed. And as we do that, we can actually prove what your will is for our life. What it is. It's good and acceptable. That means what is okay for us to do. We thank you, God, for us being in that process and being okay with some of the things that you're doing, the cutting away, the stripping away. Thank you, God, for the success stories that are already in here of people who have come from lack. They've come from abandonment. They've come from not knowing who they are, and they progressed into understanding your love, acceptance, being enough, having enough. We thank you, God, that your process is not done and that we can be okay with the now, God, that people today will be okay with themselves because they know that they are loved by you, but also be uncomfortable with staying this way, that they would want more about what you have for them and that they would continue to do the work to do that. Thank you, God, for just helping people to have a steadfast compass of where you're leading them and to remain with you, to rest in you, but also, God, to help them to rethink about their current situation and rethink your heart for them. And that this year, God, would be a year of restoration in all areas of people's lives, that they would begin to see you come through like never before. Break through strongholds, God, cast down imaginations. God, things that people even are hallucinating about, God, that it's not even a you. They're seeing things that are not even you. I pray that the enemy would come in as he does come in, God, that you would help people recognize the enemy's schemes and devices. And even right now as we do that, God, you said to put on the armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles and the schemes of the enemy. And today, God, we do that. The helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith, belt of truth, our feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Those things, so we can stand against the wiles. Thank you, God, that every good gift comes from you. It's perfect. It's perfect. Thank you, God, that we can enjoy it. Thank you, God, that we can stand in victory and be okay with ourselves. Thank you, God, that you made us fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we are okay, that we look good, that we're okay, that we are made in your image, and that we can walk in confidence to know that you have good plans for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, give us a hope and a future. And as we get out to walking, you're going to direct our steps where we need to go. Thank you, God, that we may not be perfect, but we're being perfected in you. And God, we thank you for your grace that's going to help us continue to walk and continue to overcome and continue to take back those things in our life that you have called us to walk into. We thank you for life in here, life physically, life emotionally, life financially, life spiritually. God, life, I speak life, God, that people are going to have that desire for life and be able to understand what it means to have power, love, and a sound mind operating in their life. Break people out of complacency, apathy, God. And I pray this week, push them over. Push them over a little bit so that, God, they can experience your grace and your love, not so that they can sin, but so that they can experience what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. 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 Let's give God a praise offering. And yeah!